Hey, I'm Bruce Weinstein, and this is the podcast Cooking with Bruce and Mark.
And I'm Mark Scarborough, and together with Bruce, we have written and published 36 cookbooks at 7 New York publishers. We're working on yet another, which you're going to hear about soon enough. Our passion is food and cooking. I may have a sub-passion on Dante, but that's a different matter for a different podcast. That's our passion here is food and cooking. So we want to share that passion with you after having been in this business for, I don't know, a long time. When was our first book published?
1999.
And in between, 36 books have been published. Kind of crazy. In this episode of our podcast, we're going to, as always, give you a one-minute cooking tip. We're heading for the kitchen to make a recipe that Bruce makes weekly at this point. It's crazy. And then we're going to tell you what's making us happy in food this week. So let's get started.
Our one-minute cooking tip. Now, my grandmother is going to roll over in her grave as I say this. Stop reusing plastic wrap. Stop it. Especially with things like cheese.
Especially with cheese.
You unwrap the cheese and throw away that piece of plastic wrap. Because every time you unwrap a piece of cheese, use a fresh piece of plastic wrap to store it for the next time. Used plastic wrap never sticks and seals as well as the first time it's peeled off the roll.
And let me also say, and this is about storing cheese even in plastic bags, remember that cheese is a moldy product, and even some of the mold you can't see. And the problem is the mold adheres to the inside of the plastic wrap or even the plastic bag. And in fact, you can get a quicker molding cheese because you're back to reintroducing constantly the mold to it. It's better to use a fresh piece of plastic wrap on that cheese because, again, what's left on there, the bacteria and all that kind of stuff, you want to get a new sheet and start again. Let me also say that it's weird if you wrap, Stilton and then unwrap it and forget which piece of plastic wrap you used and wrap up Gouda with Stilton plastic wrap.
Flavor distance. We call that flavor distance.
That doesn't work.
You don't want to do that. Keep them separate. And stop reusing plastic wrap.
Before we get to the next segment of this podcast, let me say that we do have a newsletter. In fact, the recipe for this podcast will come out in our newsletter. And you can subscribe to it on our website, bruceandmark.com. We don't capture your email. I don't even know who you are. And you can unsubscribe at any time. So you can sign up there and receive our newsletter for recipes like this one. So what's up next is we're going to make jammy oat bars. And this is a recipe from one of our books, The Ultimate Cookbook. But before we get started, I'm going to tell you something about this recipe. I teach a lot of lit classes. And I don't know if you know this or not, but I was an old lit academic, an English academic back in the day. I guess I am an old one now. I wasn't so old back then. I was young back then, but I'm old now. And I gave that up to become a full-time writer. But it's come roaring back in my life. I just came off of 8 weeks on Willa Cather.
It was brilliant. I went to every one of them.
I'm heading into 6 weeks on William Faulkner.
I'm coming to two of them.
Okay, he's going to try Faulkner. This is a big deal. Bruce hasn't ever read Faulkner, and I'm very excited that he's going to actually struggle with The Sound and the Fury with the rest of us. And, you know, I've got classes coming up this fall on Eudora Welty and poetry classes, all kinds of things in my life. And I always bring treats. Maybe that's why people show up to these things, is I always bring treats. And Bruce often makes jam oat bars.
These are the treats I make, these jammy oat bars. As Mark said, the original recipe was in our book, The Ultimate Cookbook. That recipe used shortening and blackberry jam, but every time I make them with butter for his class, people go crazy. So now the only way
butter,
I make them is with butter.
Butter is a beverage. Come on.
I mix up the flavor of jam each week, and, you know, the original had walnuts in it or pecans. I changed the nuts, so we're doing a jammy oat bar today with a four-berry jam and with walnuts. Mm. So here's what's going on. The oven is already heated to 350, so I don't have to think about that. What is that in centigrade?
175 Celsius.
And what you hear is me cutting a piece of parchment to fit into a 9x13-inch pan.
What is that? That is a 22x33-centimeter pan.
If you don't know how to do this, check out our TikTok channel, Cooking with Bruce and Mark. You will learn how to easily fit a piece of parchment into your 9x13
pan. Yeah, in fact, this video of these very jam oat bars appears on our TikTok TikTok channel. There you go. It also appears under my Instagram feed. It appears in the Facebook group, Cooking with Bruce and Mark. And the recipe will appear there along with the videos if you want to check those out. So now we've got a stand mixer out, and we've got 3 sticks of butter. It's the North American market. That's 3/4 of a pound of butter, or 340 grams, mm-hmm, of butter. You want to use, I think, unsalted butter, because you want to control the salt of this thing.
Always use so unsalted I say that. Butter.
And by the way, it's not softened. It's just been cut into pieces, because if you don't know and haven't listened to this podcast enough, cold butter traps air better, which makes for more tender baked goods after beating. So we've got all of that butter in the mixer, and we're adding 1 cup or 215 grams of packed dark brown sugar, and 3/4 of a cup or 150 grams of granulated white sugar or caster sugar. If you're using caster sugar, go by weight, 150 grams, not by volume.
And I am turning this on slowly at first so that the chunks of butter don't come flying out at me. And I'm going to cream this sugar and butter together. Creaming it just means beating them until they are, well, creamy.
That's
and
right.
Fluffy. And this is a part of baking where a lot of people rush it and a lot of people skimp, and they don't beat it long enough. It needs to be light and fluffy, and it takes a while to get there. So while it gets there, let's talk about the nuts.
Okay, so we're going to use 1.5 cups. In this recipe, we're using walnut pieces, but you can use 1.5 cups or 175 grams of any kind of nut. Pecans, mm-hmm, almonds, little hazelnuts, make sure they're skinned. Hazelnuts, you can use anything you want, and what you want to use is pieces. So if they're hazelnuts, you want to chop them a little bit. If they're pecans, you want pecan pieces, walnut pieces. You can even use slivered almonds.
And those you don't really have to chop at all.
Or you can use whole almonds that you chop a little bit. And what we want to do is toast them. So I've got a dry skillet, sitting over low heat, and I'm just going to pour the nuts into it.
And again, just like we have said in the past, when we toast our spices so they get fragrant, it only takes a minute or two. As soon as these nuts get fragrant, I don't necessarily want them to get brown. I just want to smell nuttiness, which means the oil's coming out of them.
Meanwhile, this entire time the mixer has been going, remember that butter was cool from the fridge, mm-hmm, and cut into small pieces? It's going to take a long time for it to get,
yep,
fluffy and light. And I would tell you 6 minutes,
yep,
7 minutes. So what I'm going to do is take these nuts and pour them out on a cutting board just so they'll cool. I don't want to add hot nuts to a batter. Ooh, suddenly sounds like a different kind of podcast. I don't want to add hot nuts to a batter right now. I'm going to spread them out, and we're going to come back when that bit over there is creamed up.
Okay, our nuts are toasted. Our nuts are cooled. Our nuts are chopped. Our nuts smell good. And the mixer is still going.
Still not that kind of podcast, but go on.
The mixer is still going. Our butter-sugar mixture is super fluffy. So now, without stopping that mixer, I'm cracking a large egg and pouring that in and letting it mix in.
One egg, right?
One large egg. And now I am going to stop the mixer because I want to scrape down the sides and make sure all of this deliciously creamed butter and sugars mix with the egg, and turn it back on. And I like to mix in the salt, cinnamon, and vanilla at this point. A teaspoon of salt, teaspoon of ground cinnamon, and 2 teaspoons of vanilla.
That's 10 milliliters of vanilla.
And now that's a beautiful mixture. I'm going to turn it off again, and Mark is going to add our dry ingredients,
okay,
which are...
Okay. 2.25 cups or 285 grams of all-purpose or plain flour, and 200 grams or 2.25 cups, same amount in terms of volume, different weights, 2.25 cups or 200 grams of regular rolled oats. Don't you dare use steel-cut oats, and do not use quick-cooking oats.
Steel-cut oats? Hey, my teeth were too expensive to use steel-cut oats.
These are just standard rolled oats. We're going to put that in there. Bruce is going to turn the mixer on very slowly.
And as these dry ingredients get mixed in, I'm going to drop those nuts in as well. And this is only going to take about 30 seconds. I don't want to overdo it.
Yeah, right.
I just want everything incorporated. And look at this, Mark. It looks like a perfect cookie dough.
Do you know, just to say, in case you don't know about baking, here's the rule. Before you add the flour, you basically cannot overbeat it. Yes, you can. I know. Rose Levy Barenbaum is rising up to strike me right now. You can overbeat it. Okay, yes, you can. But for all, as my grandmother would have said,
I still want to know what an intensive purpose
I do
is.
Too. For all intensive purposes, you can just let that mixer go and go and go until you get the flour in. And then you only want to go until it's incorporated, because otherwise you start to stretch out the wheat gluten.
Don't want to do that.
Nope, and it'll get tough.
Okay, so this next part is really fun. I have to take 2/3 of this batter, and I'm going to just eyeball it. Eyeballing it is fine. And I'm going to press it into the bottom of that prepared pan.
Are you pressing it with your eyeball?
Ooh, yeah, well, you can eyeball how much 2/3 is. I'm using my hands, and my hands are slightly wet. I wet them because it's easier to press this in so the dough doesn't stick as much. And notice, Mark, I did not dump my 2/3 of it into the middle and tried to press it out.
Right.
I dolloped it all over the bottom so that it's easier to get a nice, even flat layer.
And you don't want to press down too hard. You don't want to make this like a cookie, but you do want to, you know, get it into place across that pan.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and then now that that's done, I'm going to spread 1.5 cups or 480 grams of, we have today, a mixed berry jam.
It is Bon Maman's four fruit preserves.
I'm going to be really honest and tell you we got it on sale at Costco, and it was what was on sale. So that's what we're using. You can use anything, any jam or preserve at this point. That is, you could use apricot jam or preserves, raspberry, fig, blackberry, no jellies. So no Concord grape jelly, no strawberry jelly, no apple jelly.
Yeah, I want to say, I once made this with some homemade sweet orange marmalade.
Yeah.
And Mark brought them to, and there's a British woman in his class, and she said, ooh, marmalade. And she took one bite, and she was so revolted, because to her,
she
marmalade
spit it out
is
into her napkin.
Bitter, and I had sweet orange marmalade, and she was like, this is not proper marmalade.
It wasn't. It was sweet marmalade. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, yes, you can use marmalades of all sorts. What you just want is a thick, pulpy mixture, like a jam or a preserve. No jellies. Again, I can't stress this enough. No jellies. Don't you dare make this ooh gag with mint jelly.
Oh, mint. Oh, disgusting.
Disgusting. Okay, so you get the jam or preserve spread out, and now you're going to take the rest of that dough, and you're going to crumble it on top.
And you're going to evenly spread it out so that you get a nice, it's going to like a little cobblery looking, right?
Right.
I want to see some of that jam between the pieces. And now it's going in the oven for 45 minutes. The jam will be bubbling. It will be browned and beautiful. And then we're going to let it cool and try it.
It's done, and it's out, and it has cooled. And I want to say a couple things before we taste it. First of all, we cooled this quite a bit, and you can cool this on down to room temperature, and we have done this, I can tell you. You can cool it down to room temperature. You can pull it out, you know, turn it over, pull it out of the baking pan, turn it upside down, flip it out, then flip it back around again. And you can wrap this thing, once it's fully cooled, in plastic wrap and shove it in the freezer, and it comes out just fine when it's thawed.
Sometimes I make 4 at a time and freeze them for his classes.
No problem freezing this thing at all. It's sometimes easier to freeze it as a block because you get less freezer burn on individual pieces. But, you know, hey, you could even do individual pieces if you wanted to.
My favorite piece is the corner. So I am cutting off a corner of this, and I'm going to cut that in half so we can both try it. And
it's so delicious. It's really nutty. It's like, imagine a fruit crisp, but a cookie in cookie form.
This is what I want Pop-Tarts to taste like,
well,
and
yes,
they never do.
No, Pop-Tarts never taste like them. Trust me, after writing over 20,000 original recipes in our career, we've written some original recipes for homemade Pop-Tarts, and they are always a little disheartening.
Not to me. I love Pop-Tarts.
But there's so much work to make homemade Pop-Tarts for so little bang for the buck, but this is not little bang for the buck.
This is delicious. This is nutty and buttery and jammy, and now I know why everyone in your class goes crazy over these.
Yeah, these are really great. Again, if you want to see a video of this recipe, it's on our TikTok channel. It's on an Instagram under my name, Mark Scarborough. You can find it there. You can find it on Facebook, Cooking with Bruce and Mark. We post this thing everywhere. And we post the ingredients and the recipe with it. You know, hey, it's a public service announcement. So you can find it there. And we would love to see what you do with jam oat bars, because we think they are an absolute fantastic dessert treat any time of the week, even if you're not reading Willa Cather. So that's the podcast so far. Again, let me say it would be great if you could rate and subscribe to this podcast. If you can give it a review, that's even better. If you subscribe, you won't miss it for a single week. And we really appreciate that, being an unsupported podcast as we are. But otherwise, we're going to tell you what's making us happy in food this week.
For me, it's extra crunchy dark pretzels, eating them with green grapes.
I know, you and pretzels and
pretzels
grapes.
Pretzels and grapes.
It just seems wrong. It seems like pieces of pretzel get stuck in the grape, and it's all like, it's like pretzels and gum.
No, pretzels and grapes are, ew, pretzels and gum. That is so disgusting. No, you
it
got the sweet,
like,
the
no.
sweet grapes, the salty pretzels, the juicy grapes. This way I don't have to like drink a Coke with the pretzels. I got the juice from the grapes going down.
So at night we've been lost in this Swedish series. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a Swedish series called Bonus Family. And it's four seasons long. And it's about this family in which couples get divorced. And the Bonus Family is this central family of two divorced people who bring their children from previous marriages with them. And so now they have a bonus family. And I guess in Sweden, these are called bonus papa and bonus mama.
Instead of step. And that right. goes, even if you're not married, you're still the bonus papa and bonus
right.
mama.
So, and it's four seasons, and it's unbelievably sad and funny all at the same time. These characters can go from being pathetic to being hysterical to back to being pathetic again. It's really engaging. I honestly, after four seasons and we finished it, I felt like I almost had a death. I got so close to these people from binging this thing over like 2.5 weeks. But let me say that in every evening's TV watch, Bruce would always have pretzels and grapes sitting there. And I was always like, that is just... that's a textural wrongness.
No,
that's
it's
going
a textural rightness.
No, I don't know. It seems kind of bad. Okay, what's making me happy in food this week? So a couple weekends ago, we went out to a friend's house in the Hamptons in New York on Long Island. And we spent a long weekend with our friends there. And the husband left halfway through, and we stayed with the wife. And it was lovely. We had a lovely time. And she brought in a veritable ton of charcuterie and cheese from New York City, and we just grazed on charcuterie and cheese. And that's actually not what's making me happy. What's making me happy is something that I've never had before, and you're going to be shocked, I think, maybe, I don't know. She had to go with especially the big stinky cheeses like the Campazola and the Stilton. She had quince paste. And I have to tell you, I have never eaten quince paste before.
And
I
it
know.
Has been put in front of you
a thousand times
and you've always pushed it aside.
I do. I push it aside in French restaurants. I push it aside always with the cheese course.
You think it's pâte de fouille. You think it's candy.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want anything sweet to ruin this beautiful cheese. But I started eating quince paste with Campazola and these really stinky, runny cheeses. And it was kind of a revelation. Isn't it funny that at my age and being in the food career this long, there are things that are kind of ordinary, like quince paste, that I've never tried. Ordinary if you eat cheese courses and go to nice restaurants and have a big cheese thing. And, you know, I've seen quince paste a million times, and I've always pushed it away. It's like, no, I don't want dessert. And I loved it. It was incredibly floral and sweet, and it went with the stinky cheeses so well. I guess I was wrapping pieces of
mortadella around it.
You were. I even said at one point, I'm only eating food in quince paste form from now on. So I guess Quince Face made me very happy, and it's wild that in my mid-60s, I could still find something that I'm not exactly sure I've ever had before. So huzzah for trying new things. Well, that's our podcast for this week. Thanks for being on this journey with us. We know there are a lot of podcasts out there, and you can choose from a lot of podcasts, and we really thank you for choosing ours to spend your time with.
And every week, we tell you what's making us happy in food, so tell us what's making you happy in food this week at our Facebook group, Cooking with Bruce and Mark. We would love to read about your experiences with food and continue to share ours here on Cooking with Bruce and Mark.